Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Tyler Davis, 19-yard attempt, far hash, put down by Billy Fessler. Kick is up, and the kick is good. And the Nittany Lions take the lead with 1:01 to go in the opening quarter. 3-0 Penn State. They've got six offensive linemen in there. And they'll pitch it to Wadley in the end zone, to the edge, in the end zone, safety! Penn State gets the safety. Sharif Miller led the charge, and it's 5-0 Nittany Lions. Under center, takes the snap, turns, Wadley deck for a loss off the edge that time. What a play by Marcus Allen. First and 10. Penn State trying to get the lead here. It's Barkley, stutter step to the 15, swings it, blocked by Hamilton to the 10, near quarter 5, reaches for the pylon, and goes down inside the 5-yard line at the 2 and a first down. For the lead, put down by Fessler, kick is up, and the kick by Davis is good, and the Nittany Lions go back in front. 8-7 Penn State with 10:42 to go in the third. Stanley under center, 2 far side, 1 near side. Stretch play Wadley to the right. Cuts through the hole. Fumbles the football loose on the turf. Chavis is around it for Penn State. And the Nittany Lions recover at the 25. The 11th fumble by Iowa this year. And the 6th one that they've lost. Sorley takes it. And it's Barkley. Bounces to the left. 30. Far side. 35. Cuts inside. 40. Gets away. 50. 45. 40. 35. And down to the 30-yard line as it becomes the 7th player in the history of Penn State football to go over 3,000 yards in his career. Sorley on 2nd and goal at the 8. Far hash. He'll keep it. Now pitching to Barkley to the 10. Barkley to the edge of the 5. And out of bounds at the 1-yard line.
Well, I thought he was going to try to stretch that ball out.
He's in. Touchdown, Penn State. Near hash, it'll be a 35-yard attempt. And put down. Kick is up, and the kick is blocked by Penn State. It is blocked, and the Nittany Lions are going to get the football. Another big special teams play as Penn State blocked it. Tight formation. Takes the snap. Back. Four-man rush. Dumps him out to Barkley at the 10. Barkley hurdles to the 20. First down, 25. A spectacular play by Barkley to get a first down as he hurdled the man to get there. Gesicki far side, near side, Tompkins and Hamilton. It's win it or lose it right here. Fourth and goal at the 7. Sorley up to the line of scrimmage. In the gun. Takes it. Back to pass. Blitz coming. In the end zone. Throws. Got it. Touchdown. Penn State. Jawan Johnson. And the Nittany Lions at the wire win it. Down goes the knee. Penn State wins it. In the clutch. 80 yards in a minute 42. And as Jack said, if this offense is as good as we think it is, they'll come through. They did.
I want to give the University of Iowa, you know, a bunch of credit. Obviously, Coach Ferentz, tough game here. The environment was unbelievable. And my first time being here, a very, very impressive place. You got to give them credit. But, yeah, I thought our poise at the end, I think we all have seen, you know, how tough Trace McSorley is, physically tough, mentally tough, and he showed that again today.
James Franklin, after the game, as Penn State won it, and for those of us who do a lot of basketball, you get used to the idea in postseason play, for example, whether it's a conference tournament or the NCAA tournament, of survive and advance, survive and advance. And in this era now of the college football playoff, I feel like we're now in an era where you're going through a survive and advance, survive and advance. You know, check mark. Penn State survived the Iowa game. They've advanced. They go to the next one. They've got Indiana coming up. And I feel like we're there now as to where you're going with this. For example, Oklahoma State was ranked 6th. They did not survive. They fall back. Now, can you overcome a loss? Yes, you can. It's been proven over and over and over again. You can survive a loss. Ohio State won the national championship 3 years ago after losing the second week of the season to Virginia Tech. Clemson last year won the national championship despite a loss to Pitt later in the season. Which I want to say was the late October last year that they lost that game. But they survived it because they were able to, they had enough cachet in the tank in order for them to win it, including winning the conference championship, the ACC title. So you can do that, but you can also keep your spot in the conversation by just keep on winning week by week. Now the Iowa Challenge is over. Now you go to the Indiana Challenge coming up this week. Just keep winning and surviving and advancing. Tough challenge at Iowa. Win in there. Tough environment. Move the ball to the tune of 579 yards. But there were several interesting aspects to this game. Of course, Penn State in the red zone didn't close out as well as they wanted to. Got that. The other part, too, is that when you look at the safety was in the second quarter that made it 5-0. The safety hung over that game all night. Gilligan put the ball inside the five. Urban Charles downed it at the one. Second down play, after a quarterback sneak, they dumped it to Wadley, wanted to get the ball into the hands of their best playmaker. As you saw later in the game, what a playmaker he really is. He's outstanding. But then Sharif Miller, and helped by two others, brought him down for a safety. That safety hung on that game all night. Penn State's leading the game 15-7. Iowa scores to make it 15-13. No safety. Iowa's kicking the extra point. But because of the safety, now they've got to chase points and they've got to go for two. Penn State stops it. It's still 15-13. All right. Then instead of it being 14-13, and then Iowa scoring again to make it 21-13, where Penn State needs a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Nope, because they had to chase points earlier because of the safety and didn't get it. They then score to make it 19-15. And look, it makes no sense to kick the extra point there. None. So you go for two again. And they didn't make that one either. Now, even if they made it, it still would have been, would have made it, what, 21-15? Penn State would have needed an extra, they would have had to have kicked the extra point. And you notice Penn State, you know, people have asked me, why did they have to go out and go for the extra point after the touchdown? You have to because it's a scoring play for both teams. It's not like the old NFL where there's no way the defense can score in a play like that, even on a two-point conversion. That rule in the NFL has now changed. They've finally reverted to the college rule where you can score. So since it's a two-point play for the defense, you know, a blocked extra point can be run back for two, a fumble can be run back for two, and whatever. You have to come out and take the knee and do that because the 2 points can tie the game. So you have to run the play. So that's why they had to come out for the extra point afterward. They had no choice there to do that because it's a scoring play for both teams. But they won this game because they played well enough defensively. They only, they gave up three big plays. They limited them to only 200 yards in the game, just a little bit better than 200. Penn State had 579 in the game, had the ball for 39 minutes plus. And on a night like that, time of possession, as we've discovered, doesn't mean a lot. Time of possession doesn't mean, as we've noticed, but it can mean a lot on a night like Saturday night. I'll take you back to the national championship game on the January 8th, Clemson and Alabama. On that night in Tampa, Clemson won the game on the final play of the game. It was Clemson's 99th play of the game. They ran Alabama out of gas in that game. You could just see as the fourth quarter was going, they ran them out of gas. Well, here's one for you. Penn State won in the final play of the game on Saturday night on the 99th play of the game from Penn State. 99 plays Penn State ran on Saturday night. And just like Clemson won in its 99th play against a very tired defense, Penn State won in its 99th play against a very tired defense. on a very warm and humid night in Iowa City. So it did come into play. I felt like the safety hung over the game all night. I felt defensively Penn State played really well. I thought Penn State's special teams, especially in the punt game, performed well and had the big block field goal as well. And they, you know, and then in the clutch, when you're in that spot, a minute 42, and they practice this every Wednesday, minute 42, two timeouts, 80 yards in front of them. Did you notice the patience with which Penn State went about its business? Okay. They give you this, we take it. They give you that, we take it. They give you this, take that as well. The big fourth down play to Blacknall, huge. That was a great throw by McSorley. Excellent concentration by Saeed Blacknall. Fourth down play, big. Big third down pass play to Barkley. He completed passes to four different receivers on that drive, including the game winner, to Johnson at the end. As for Barkley, you know what's interesting is that we were interviewing James Franklin after the game. And you know, we're asking about the final drive. We're asking about the defense. And it got back to me, and I said to James, I said, you know, the odd thing is, in the 3 years he's been here, rarely in the postgame show have we asked him about Barkley. In a lot of ways, you're talking about this guy, this moment, that moment. And Barkley's greatness at times can be such a given because he's so incredible. And I realize that we really have not asked him a lot about Barkley over the years. Just haven't. And so I asked him about it. Of course, you know, he talked about, look, he had 358 yards in the game. 358 all-purpose yards, a Penn State record. Now take this into account. He had 43 touches in the game. 43 touches in the game for Barkley. He had 28 runs, 12 receptions, 3 returns. Of those 43, 21 of them were gained 7 yards or better in the game. Of the 43 touches, 21 of them gained 7 yards or better in the game. Okay, let's bring in Doug from Wellsboro. Hi, Doug. How are you? It's a pleasure to hear from you.
Steve, it's great to hear you. I got a question about the refs. What anymore is indisputable evidence? What more can Grant Haley do? The ball, the tip of the ball may have touched the turf, but he had two hands underneath that ball and had total control of it. Is there indisputable evidence that it overturned that?
Well, you know what, Doug? That's one I completely agree with you. Jack and I looked at it, and we just couldn't see anything that would overturn it being an interception. I mean, I realize it's very, very close, but I thought in the end they were going to go with the fallback, which is always a good fallback. There's nothing wrong with the fallback. Stands as called. And they didn't. They overturned it, and we were both somewhat surprised by that. So I can't really answer that for you because I'm with you. I think the way you described it is exactly how it played out.
I was always thought it had to be indisputable or overwhelming evidence to overturn a call. It should have just gone as stands. But and the second one, that thing on Christian Campbell, that pass interference was baloney.
Again, I'll agree with you completely on that. I thought that he tripped over his own 2 feet and got away with it. And I didn't see the merit of that one at all. That one, I mean, the ball's overthrown. It looked like he tripped and fell. Campbell wasn't doing anything except looking back at the football, I thought. And to me, that's always a key to any no call versus a call, is if the DB is looking back at the ball. I usually feel like that's a standard. And I thought Campbell met the standard of a no call.
The last play, I know Juwan Johnson had been asking Gattis about doing a corner post, you know, because the safety or the corner was cheating. But, boy, did they get lucky on that last play. They ended up with Deshaun Hamilton and Juwan Johnson both running posts with Tompkins running that drag underneath there. And the Iowa kid almost tipped it, who was dragging along with Tompkins. I mean, that was a tight window, and that ball just made it through there.
Well, it was a tight window, except they ran the play the way they wanted to. In other words, they wanted to take Gesicki and get him to the corner. That was one. They wanted Tompkins underneath to get rid of somebody, which he did. And then they wanted the double level on that on the back one. So they actually ran it the way they wanted to. It was just a really good throw. I know in the replay it looks like he's relatively close to hitting it, but it's like watching a batter swing and he's late on the swing. He wasn't actually as close to tipping it because he was so late in getting it up there. I think it's an optical illusion as to how close he was. He really wasn't as close, I think, because we looked at in live action and sitting there, it looked like, you know, it was a flyby and he just flat out missed it.
One couple other quick things. What are they going to do at right tackle? Is Chaz right back? Andrew Nelson is just struggling. He's got to be moved to guard or something. He's never going to be mobile again enough to play tackle.
Well, let's see. Will Fries played the entire second half. Chaz Wright will get back. Now, when? I can't tell you when he's going to get back. Maybe he's back this week. I mean, I'll have to see once they get to practice, Doug. But, I mean, Chaz has been a really good player for them at that right tackle spot. He just couldn't go this week. You'd like to wean him in more, because he's still not quite a year from the ACL. And you're right. I mean, mobility is going to be somewhat an issue. And the defensive ends for Iowa are pretty good. Penn State could have done a better job in that game of chipping those two defensive ends, which they really needed to do. They really needed to chip them. And that was actually part of the plan, that they would chip them. And it turned out that they didn't do as effective a job as they should have on that.
What time did you guys get back Saturday night?
I walked to my house at 10 after 4, and I'm only 10 minutes from the airport.
Okay. I hope Saquon doesn't do anything all week except walkthroughs. He deserves it. That kid deserves it.
He looked perfectly fine last night. What was interesting is that Jack and I walk on the plane, and there's Saquon sitting in his usual seat, which was a middle seat. He didn't even get the window or the aisle.
You guys need to give up your seat for Saquon or something. Your first class seats.
Our first class seats. No, I'm in 36C, Doug. Okay, Jack is in 37B. So we're not in the first class area.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Doug. Always a pleasure. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, coming up on the show today, we'll have Joe Susan talking about Bucknell's dramatic win at the Wire as they won over the weekend over Sacred Heart. We'll talk with Joe about that and about his team going into the next one. Bruce Feldman's going to join us. Great write-up by him on Saquon Barkley and also his view of the national scene in college football. Matt Leon on the dramatic Eagles win yesterday over the New York Giants on the 61-yard field goal. Really, some fun things to talk about on today's show. And your calls at 800-795-9565, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades because they're the best in the business. They find you the right insurance at the right price. Auto, home, life, business, they have it all for you, and they are your advocate every step of the way. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this area for decades. Reason, they've always been able to find their customers the insurance that fits them at the price that fits their budget. And if there's ever a problem and a claim is needed, they are your best advocate without question. They'll go to work for you as if it happened to them. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we've talked about one dramatic win. Let's go to another one as Bucknell was able to beat Sacred Heart dramatically, 34-31, winning again at the end on a field goal. We're joined by the head coach of Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome back. And congratulations on a fabulous win for you.
Thank you, Steve. It was a great win for our team, our coaching staff. And what's unique is that it was family weekend here, and we were fortunate to have a great crowd. Third down noise was very special noise, and the crowd was into it. And you know, I think that a great way to end it. And obviously, you don't want it to come down to the last 2 seconds, but we keep telling them that every second on that clock counts, and really bore true in this one.
It did indeed, and not only that, for John Burdick, it ends up being a career-long 46-yard field goal. But again, you see him in practice all the time. Now, practice to a game can be different, but what is it about him that, you know, you look at a guy like that and say, you know what, he's got something in the backbone that's going to be able to handle a situation like that?
It's good for him because he's been a journeyman here. Actually was recruited here initially to play tennis. He's a tennis instructor. He's a yoga instructor. And I told him on Saturday night he became a college kicker. He is one of the strongest pound for pound that we have on our team. And last year he dealt with a tendonitis in his plant foot, which is makes it very difficult to kick. We used him sparingly. But he's hit those in practice, and when I told him as he was going out, I said, listen, they're going to ice you a couple times here. I said, if we do get a snap off and they do ice you, make sure you try and kick it just so you get a practice kick. And they actually did. We got a practice kick off. Our offensive line reacted to the whistle, so it was kind of blocked, but I asked him how well he hit it, and he said, I hit that one really well, Coach. I just want you to know that if I make it, or when I make this one, he used, I'm going to do a dog pile in the far end zone. And he said, you're invited. And I bypassed the dog pile.
It's a veteran move by you.
Yeah, it's funny, on film, the first guy in the dog pile was his dad, Steve Burdick. But Jack Horan did a good job in funneling Steve Burdick away from the guys with the pads on.
Right, but you had to put together a 7-play, 20-yard drive to get there. Discuss, Joe, the poise and the patience that you need to show in a situation like that, even though the clock's moving and you get the stoppages and so forth. Poise and patience, how important in those moments are they in reality instead of trying to panic a bit and get big chunks?
What we did, and it started actually on a third down play they had. They completed a short pass, and when you look at the replay, Steve, it was incomplete. We're turning it into the officials. They'll actually deem it as having been incomplete. It would have been a 4th and 6, and I would imagine they would have punted, and then we would have been, we would have had to dealt with a longer field goal. It wound up being fourth and one. They tried to quick snap a quarterback sneak, and Abdullah Anderson and Ben Richard stuffed it. So we knew we had it at midfield. We threw a 3-by-1 vertical concept that Marcus Adamalola got it down to, I think, the 18. And then we ran a run play that put it in the middle of the field, and we just wanted to gain a little bit more yardage to make the field goal a little simpler. We actually threw a vertical again, though, before that. I forgot this one. And we hit the tight end, Marcus Adamalola, in the end zone. Had he caught it, it would have been a touchdown. On the same play, Chiranzio got hit hard and stayed down. So we brought Matt Mew in, and Matt executed what we needed to have him do. He dropped back smoothly through a pass to the outside that got us within range, because we, on one of the passes we got called for holding, we backed it up.
Right.
And then I thought that the head coach of Sacred Heart was going to call a timeout there to make sure that he had some time left had we made the field goal to force us to kick off and get a couple plays off. But we brought it down to 2 seconds. And I guess he thought that he was just going to try and ice the kicker and get to overtime. But I thought our players really did a good job operating. We run the 2-minute drill in practice, but like you said, the difference between practice and the game and under those situations. But I think that both the quarterback, Chiranzio, and when Matt Mew came in, and then the rest of the guys were very patient. We had a great snap, great protection. We actually had a freshman offensive tackle in for the first time in his career, a young man named Justice Peppers, who I think is going to be a very good one. And he's the guard on that, and they tried to four-hands the guard, and he held strong. And I think the kick, it was good from 46. I think it would have been good from 46 and a half. And it's one of those that just overlapped the crossbar. And a great win for our kids. And you know, what I told them after the game was that things like this galvanize a team and can be a great springboard into what has to happen next and after that.
Absolutely. You were able to, in this game, get Joey DeFleury, had a couple of touchdowns rushing. He also had 80 yards rushing for him. I'm sure it was 80 tough yards for him on 26 carries. To go with 195 through the air, what did all of this do to contribute to 38 minutes of time of possession on what was a warm day to play?
I tell you, it was very hot. In fact, I had trouble sleeping that night because I was cramping, and I demand that my players hydrate. I should follow my own advice. There was a period in we were transitioning from the third to the fourth quarter, and on the headsets I go back and forth from the offense to the defense. Our defensive guy said, guys, we only took 9 snaps in the third quarter, and that helped us from a defensive standpoint. But the back and forth of that game, and it's another thing I told my team, is that we're going to play in games like this. There's no... In the league we play in, leagues we play against, there's not a big variance in terms of talent. You know, people might be more mature, somebody might have more experience, but in order to be a good football team, you got to win the close games. And the 38 minutes time of possession, that's big. All right, it's a lot of snaps they don't take. We took 82,
right?
And you know, think. Our guys, for the most part, did an outstanding job. You know, today, I'm sure it's in the mid-90s, and heat index was similar. It was a lot hotter during the day on Saturday than in the evening, but it was still that the field turf really holds heat. And I thought our kids did a great job, and part of it's how hard they worked during the week, and we had a lot of heat during the week as well, as we're going to have this week, too. I think it's going to moderate some at the end of the week, but they're in good shape. And I think winning a game like that, they're in a hell of a lot better shape between their ears. And that's the most important thing when you're dealing with 18 to 23-year-olds.
Also, whenever you can keep a team to less than 3 yards a carry in their offense, what does that tell you about how your defense played the run and then steered them toward being one-dimensional?
You know, our philosophy defensively is and always will be stop the run. Sometimes that's easier to say than do, especially with a talented group that they are. Their running backs were very good players. We forced them to be sideways runners. I think that helped us a lot. It's a tribute to, we use the term flat wall of defense. And really, when you run a flat wall of defense, you're pushing it out to guys that have leverage on you, and those are the guys making the tackles. And when you can change a team into being more a passing team, because they were very, very balanced coming in, they did take some shots over the top and play action things, but for the most part, it also led to two interceptions. And they had two interceptions and one fumble. We won the turnover margin. And this level, any level of football, you win the turnover margin, there's a good chance you're up on the scoreboard unless something, you know, really drastic happens. But great tribute to our players in terms of they held them on that fourth and one, which that changed the game. And it puts us at half field. And I thought Taranzo played within himself. He's only going to get better and better each week. He made some plays on his feet that are really exciting. He's also a very fiery individual. I'd rather have that than have a guy that you have to push to be that way. You can easily rein some of those guys in. And the thing that about him is that he's getting everybody in the huddle that way. And with a young offensive line, you have some energy in that group. It really portrays well for the future, and in many cases, the future is right now, and it starts this weekend against Monmouth, a good, very good football team.
Monmouth, in fact, comes in 3-1 after their overtime win over Hampton, so they're 3-1 on the year. You and I have often talked about approach. Okay, you did this. All right, enjoy it or get rid of it as quickly as possible. I've always felt that sometimes that approach that you're talking about, people seem to feel it's after losses you've got to, like, okay, boom, cleanse and go. Sometimes after big wins you've got to take that confidence but also cleanse and go as well and not get too full of yourself. Is that accurate?
It is very accurate, and I talked to them about this last night. There's going to be a lot of people patting you on the back for the, you know, up till Wednesday probably, and we got to make sure that we wash away what we did, but learn from it, gain confidence from it, but understand that we have a task ahead of us against a really good football team with talent, well coached, and they too are, especially on the offensive side, they've got a bunch of seniors, but it's college football. And I know Kevin Callahan, I've known him for my entire career. He's the only head coach they've ever had there, and he has done an outstanding job of recruiting his home area but also spreading his wings. Very talented at quarterback in Kenji Behar. They have a potential All-American at strong safety in Michael Basile, who's a Brick Township guy that I'm very familiar with that area of New Jersey. And what's neat about it is that we have a bunch of Jersey guys on our team. They know all these guys. They played against them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of familiarity going into a game where we're playing an opponent for the first time.
Well, best of luck. 6 o'clock coming up on Saturday at Christie for this one. Gets a good 3-1 Monmouth team coming off a great win yourself. Wish you nothing but the best of luck. And those are always the fun ones at the end to kind of go, okay, survived and advanced to the next one.
I went home to my wife and I said, I wonder how I would feel if it went the other way. But I knew how I would feel if it went the other way. And I feel bad for Mark Nofri, the head coach at Sacred Heart, but I'd rather be in the locker room I was in at the end than the locker room he was in. He's a good man, does a good job. They're going to win their share of games.
Best of luck to you on Saturday evening at 6. Looking forward to talking to you again next week, Coach. Great job.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Sean. Take care, man.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye.
Joe Susan, you know what? It's interesting in that game with Sacred Heart. Do you realize that the Bucknell defense in that game, 4-7, 3-and-outs in that game? 7-3 and outs in that game. You're like, what is a 34-31 game? 7-3 and out's pretty good. That's one of the reasons why a team only ends up with 21 minutes worth of possession in a game like that, because the defense did a little bit better job of getting off the field than I think some people realize. As he mentioned, I think, what the defense was on the field, what, 9 plays in the third quarter, Joe said?
And one thing we did, one thing we didn't bring up last week leading up to this game, Joe made Joey DeFloria co-captain. And he probably would have got co-captain a lot quicker if it hadn't been for an injury that he was dealing with in spring ball. So, you know, just what great timing and able to get those two key touchdowns on Saturday night.
Yep, 26 carries on a hot night for 80 tough yards and 2 touchdowns. That's the kind of gutty performance you want out of your tailback in conjunction with your offensive line. We will come back with more in a moment. Bruce Feldman next half hour. Matt Leon final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Let's go to Dick in Milton at 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Dick. How are you today? It's always great to hear from you.
Hey, Steve, I'll make this quick. But Alex Peachin, I don't know if you paid much attention to his punting. He had 9 punts for 436 yards, a 48.4 average, 5 inside the 20, 4 over 50 yards, 2 fair catches. Two fair catches and 1 touchback. I mean, he has to be one of the best punters in any division of football right now.
I mean, we've talked about Alex with Joe before on the show, and because of exactly what you talked about, because Joe, as a really, really good football coach, understands the value of field position, and Alex is an absolute weapon in that regard, where now suddenly, because of him, teams are having to go the length of the field, which takes a little bit of pressure off a defense. Also gives the offense, it puts them in a really great spot to start drives because of a guy like that. Alex is a perfect example of how complementary football is supposed to work.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I don't know that you could have a much more perfect night of kicking a football than he had on Saturday night.
And again, when you win a game on the last possession of the game, where every little bit counts to get you there, what he did punting the football and creating long fields is something that you can't put a price on. It's just another one of those checkmark things. You say, yep, that guy really came through for us, and he did.
Well, 2 good wins, Bucknell and Penn State, and Brandon Smith made a nice game-saving tackle there at the end, or a touchdown-saving tackle there, and it got us a little bit of props for that also.
Brandon Smith almost always plays well. He really does. Well, then you get down to Blake Gilligan. The safety was a big part of this game on Saturday night, Dick, because Gilligan put the ball inside the 5, and Irvin Charles downed it at the 1. On second down, Sharif Miller gets the safety, tackles wildly on that dump pass in the end zone. And that 2 points hung over this game all night long, where Iowa felt they had to go for 2, and it was 15-13. Then, you know, and Penn State stopped it. It just hung there the entire time, and it happened because of a punt.
Well, lots of comments after the game, and my only comment was when everybody was doing all this, there's never a doubt.
Well, you know, 12-play, 80-yard drive, and the patience and how calmly they went about their business, I think, was a really big element as to how you saw it. They give you that, so you take it. They give you that, so you take it. But then you have to make a couple plays on the clutch. A 4th down pass to Blacknell, play in the clutch. You have to get the ball downfield a bit to Johnson, then, of course, the Barkley play.
Well, hopefully neither team has to come down to the last play the rest of the year for these kind of wins. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, let's see if everybody can put their feet up for a little bit at the end, right? Dick, thanks so much. I think I lost Dick there for a second. I think I did. But, yeah, let's see how it comes down to it. The games where it's like, it's okay. You know, you can put your feet up and enjoy. The Big Ten's a grind, just like the Patriots a grind. It doesn't really matter. You know, level doesn't matter because everything's relative. The Patriot League is a grind. Well, the Big Ten is a grind. And the next part of the grind is going to be an Indiana team that Richard Leygo, really good quarterback. Peyton's a really good backup who gives him a nice change of pace. Morgan Ellison, the true freshman, gave him a little jump in the running game over the weekend, which they had not had the first 2 weeks. Simi Cobbs at wide receiver. Ian Thomas, the tight end. They got some guys on offense that can play. And then T. Gray Scales and Rashard Fant on defense. Even though, but they're giving up more yards defensively than they did last year, and that's something that I don't think they expected to have happen. I know they've already played a really, really good team in Ohio State. They went at Virginia, which is impressive, and then Georgia Southern, you have to in some ways say, okay, kind of throw that out. But that's Saturday at 3:30.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.